question of whether or not the person grasps at a limited story. So the Buddha said, those who are unawakened grasp their thoughts and feelings, their body, their perceptions and consciousness, and take them as solid, separated from the rest. Those who have awakened have the same thoughts and feelings, perceptions, body, and consciousness, but they are not grasped, not held, not taken as oneself. When we do not grasp at the stories of our life, an extraordinary possibility opens up for us to turn all of our stories, whether inherited or chosen by us, into the path of a bodhisattva, a being who takes form in every realm, in every possibility, and uses each to develop boundless compassion and awaken the interconnected and liberated heart. Out of the mystery of all stories, in 100,000 forms and circumstances, the bodhisattva vows to enter into them and bring awakening to all beings. There is no predetermined story for a bodhisattva to follow. To live as a bodhisattva is to touch the spirit of the Buddha within us and to allow that to shine through our own individual life. Buddhist history is filled with 1,000 different accounts of how the bodhisattva spirit can manifest in the world. There are bodhisattvas everywhere. One of my teachers lived in a cave for many years, silently radiating compassion to the world. Another was a very wealthy businessman who taught meditation retreats to tens of thousands of students worldwide. His master was a high-ranking cabinet minister in Burma who got the government officials in his offices to meditate at the start of each day. One of the greatest of modern Buddhist yogis and masters was a woman who lived a simple householder life in Calcutta with her daughter and grandchildren. She taught in her one-room apartment and gave amazing blessings to all who visited her. Another was a nurse who worked with the dying. Another a teacher of young children. Some were stern. Some were humorous. Some lived out in the forests. Others in monasteries and ashrams. Others in the middle of great cities with ordinary jobs and ordinary families. In all of them, a spirit of wisdom and compassion ran through their actions. They acted from their Buddha nature, which connected them with all beings. They did not grasp their own personal stories, but live connected to the whole. The work of the bodhisattva is to untangle the confusion and sorrows of the world. Discovering our compassionate heart can untangle our sorrow. Awakening the eyes of wisdom can untangle our delusion. If you wonder what this transformation can mean for the world, remember Margaret Mead's statement. Don't think that a small group of awakened individuals cannot change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Zen Master Dogen, the founder of Soto Zen in Japan, declared, "To be enlightened is to be intimate with all things. The air we breathe, the wind that blows around us, the earth that we walk upon, the lives of others all around us, the most intimate things of our lives, are the place of our sleep or of our awakening." In the beginning of our spiritual journey, we become aware that much of what we do is a way of seeking to love and to be loved. Perhaps the enlightenment of intimacy is the same as love. Yet love is mysterious. We don't know what it is, but we know when it is present. If we seek love, we must ask where it is to be found. It is here only in this moment. To love in the past is simply a memory. To love in the future is a fantasy. There is only one place where love can be found, where intimacy and awakening can be found, and that is in the present. Only in the intimacy of the timeless present can we awaken. This intimacy connects us to one another, allows us to belong, and in this belonging we experience love. In this, we move beyond our separateness, our contraction, our limited sense of ourselves. If we investigate what keeps us from intimacy, what keeps us from love, we will discover it is always an expectation, a hope, a thought, a fantasy. It is the same expectation that keeps us from awakening. Awakening is not far away, it is nearer than near. As it says in the Buddhist texts, awakening is not something newly discovered, it has always existed. There is no need to seek or follow the advice of others. Learn to listen to that voice within yourself, just here and now. Your body and mind will become clear, and you will realize the unity of all things. Do not doubt the possibilities because of the simplicity of these teachings. If you cannot find the truth right where you are, where else do you think you will find it? My wife, two journalist friends, and I interviewed the Dalai Lama for National Public Radio several years ago. He was enormously busy as a spiritual leader and as the head of the Tibetan government in exile, but he greeted us graciously and served us tea himself. He patiently answered all of our questions, especially focusing on the teachings about spirituality and social responsibility. Then he asked if there was anything further he could do for us. "No," we answered. "Don't you want to take my picture?" he inquired. "Yes," we all remembered. We had brought several cameras with us, but in the excitement of recording our interview, we had forgotten. The Dalai Lama then suggested that we give our cameras to his attendant so that we could all be in the picture together. He stood up and put his arms around us, two on each side. We were all grinning from ear to ear while the pictures were taken. Then, when the photography was done, he grasped my hand and turned to me. Since he knows that I am a Buddhist teacher and had lectured at one of our centers in Massachusetts, I expected him to ask how the teaching was going, you know, how's business, because after all we work for the same company. But he didn't. Instead, he squeezed my hand and looked at me carefully and said, "You're so skinny, you should eat more." This was the blessing of the Dalai Lama. To live a path with heart, a life committed to awakening, we too must care for whatever we encounter, however difficult or beautiful, and bring to it our presence, our heart, in a great intimacy. We will encounter many marvels in seeking our true way. Then, like the great Bodhisattva of Zen, who had ventured into the forest to find the missing ox, and in the process discovered his own true nature, we can return, as it said, to enter the world with bliss-bestowing hands. I hope that this program and the practices of wakefulness, compassion, and intimacy in it will bring blessings to your life, that you will have silence as a blessing, understanding as a blessing, forgiveness as a blessing, and that you, too, will bring your heart and your hands to bless all around you. As Zen poet Basho reminds us, the temple bell stops, but the sound keeps coming out of the flowers. A final note, these teachings represent only a small portion of A Path with Heart. The full text is available in paperback from Bantam Books. Further information about these teachings can be had from Spirit Rock Center, Post Office Box 909D, Woodacre, California, 94973.
We hope you've enjoyed this production of A Path with Heart by Jack Kornfield. This program was produced by Jesse Boggs, directed by Carol Shapiro, editing and post-production by Eric Foreman, abridgment by Jesse Boggs. Production copyright 1996, Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing, all rights reserved.